Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Raising the Flipping Bar. I am your host, Derek Marlin, and I'm very excited, which I know is kind of a weird statement for the topic that we're about to discuss, but this episode is hyper time sensitive. So we're recording this in the middle of March, and this episode is all about the NAR, or the National Association of Realtors, lawsuit and settlement. So let's jump into today's episode, and I hope you get a ton of value, but also check back. This is a never ending. This is an evolving process. So again, we're going to put out our information. Also, disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a financial planner. Hell, I'm not even a real estate agent. So take this all with a grain of salt. Again, I hope you really enjoy this content. Obviously, consult those very specific professionals for hyper legal advice, financial advice, tax advice. So let's jump in. Welcome to Raising the Flipping Bar, the go-to podcast for aspiring and seasoned real estate investors. I'm your host, Derek Marlin, and I'm the CEO of Elevation. We're a real estate investment company based right here in Denver, Colorado. We'll dive into smart investment strategies, market insights, and essential tips for scaling your real estate ventures. Whether you're making your first investment or your 100th investment, this podcast is your blueprint for success in the ever-evolving world of real estate investing. Get ready to elevate your real estate game and begin your journey with me. Let's set the stage. Again, we're mid-March of 2024. And the National Association of Realtors has just come down with a settlement just a couple of days ago. We're going to crank this episode out as fast as humanly possible. Before we get into some specifics with the NAR settlement and lawsuit, I want to look back at other industries where there's been major shifts, because this is not the first time that an industry has been shaken up. Quite frankly, before I got into real estate, I actually think that real estate from a advocacy standpoint, from a regulatory standpoint, was a little bit behind the times. I came from the securities industry, so I had to take an insane amount of licensing and exams and tests to get my securities licenses. If you think about the compression of the stock market and the financial industries from almost zero transparency with the Great Depression and the stock market crash, you know, of the late 1920s, and these monstrous commission spreads that people would make, to the amount of information that we have access to, the speed with which we can do trades. Some of these trades are even done for free, financial advisors. So to me, there's a lot of different parallels that I think we need to really think about. I'd be curious to really learn from our audience. Are there other industries that are on your mind, both from a positive and maybe not negative is the right word, but another challenging perspective of people that went through major shifts and who came out, you know, better for it on the back end? So just kind of a point that I've been thinking about lately. Let's talk about some of the key points again as I see them. I've been on a bunch of different mastermind calls with other real estate agents, with other investors. We have all of our folks who have their licenses through eXp Realty. And the great thing is eXp, from a corporate standpoint, has been phenomenal with cranking out as much factual content as possible. Let's talk about some specifics with this settlement. One of the things that I'm looking at is that this suit was brought on behalf of buyers. And it was originally raised in the state of Missouri a couple years back. What really is happening is we're being told that buyers didn't have the opportunity to negotiate their commissions. And then sellers were also being forced via the MLS to offer commissions and pay for their agent selling the property, and also buyer's agents who are representing the person buying their property. So industry standard, as they say it, or typical, are the terms that I keep hearing used throughout all this different discussion, is roughly 6%. Traditional or typical was that the person listing the property was going to earn a 3.2% commission because they were doing a bit more work. There were hard costs involved from putting signs in yards, doing printouts, doing digital advertising, and that buyer's agents didn't quite have that hard cost. So that's the way that I understood it. Again, would love to hear people's commentary and feedback. And then buyer's agents were typically earning 2.8%. The thing that made it an antitrust case is that it was supposedly being forced down upon consumers and they didn't have choices. I'm a huge advocate of consumer choice. I'm also a huge advocate of free market theory, meaning that the market will perform the way that it needs to perform, whether you're on the right side or the wrong side of that trade. But to me, I think the other thing that we need to talk about is that many states had the opportunity to negotiate commissions all along. Colorado is 100% case in point. We've always, to my understanding and knowledge, had the ability to negotiate commissions. I'll give you an example. When we list our fix and flips, the average commission you're paying to a buyer is 2.8%. With a fairly hot seller's market, really since day one, 2015 for us, we offered a 2.5% commission. We've done over 85 transactions, closing in on 90 transactions of our investment properties and our clients' investment properties. And I've only had one agent get pissed off that they weren't getting 2.8%. So from an investor standpoint, I put that down and I say, how can I make a little bit more money and maintain a little bit more of my profit margins? When things were crazy hot in 2021 and the first half of 2022, I debated for a hot second going down to a 2% commission, but I really do feel and think that our property would not get marketed as effectively and would not get shown as effectively. And so where I come at this from is just making good business decisions. So even though it, to my understanding, was illegal for agents, a buyer's agent, not to show a property. So if you're saying that I want to live in the Highlands neighborhood and my price range is $750,000 to $1 million, and there are five homes that pop up in the MLS for sale, all of them have 3% commissions, and there's one that has a 1% commission. There's actually data that we're pulling. Our sales manager was duly licensed in both Colorado and Idaho and heard some great data that essentially properties that had less than the traditional fair market commission, so again, think around 2.5%, 2.5% to 3%, they sold for a decent amount less. We're trying to get that data. So I don't want to give you that exact dollar amount, but the days on market were triple. Just think about that. Just make a good business decision. The thing that we're really excited about is that it just gives us more opportunities to show the value that we have. The other thing is that this is the National Association of Realtors. Not every person who buys and sells real estate is a realtor. It's actually a separate designation. It's additional education that you have to get. It's additional certifications that you have to get. It is, while broad and overarching, it doesn't truly affect everybody. The other thing that I wanted to point out is, again, I kind of put my financial analysis hat on, is I always look back at the stock market as well. By no means am I an expert, but I like to just use common sense so that when an industry is really beat up and into the ground, if you will, that might be a good time to invest. I'll give you kind of a quick sidebar, which is when COVID hit, obviously casinos shut down, travel shut down, the stock market took a huge hit. I knew at some point that people were going to travel again, people were going to go to casinos again. But if you had the stones to invest in those different sectors, you made a bunch of money. In my opinion, just like the travel industry and the casino and gaming industry, I think there's a great opportunity in real estate. This week that we are within from that NAR lawsuit and settlement, on average, most publicly traded residential real estate stocks are down between 15 and 25%. To me, I'm actually looking, as an aside, I'm probably going to invest some money in these other companies. The other thing I think is super interesting is it's all about the health of different brokerages. So right now, Zillow is trading at $46 a share. That's the highest value for a publicly traded company in our world or in our space. Not commercial, not REITs, again, making broad statements. Next is actually eXp at $9.50. Then we go to REMAX at $7.75. Right now, Redfin's trading around $6 a share. I think the cool thing was I had a great interview on CNBC with the CEO of Redfin. They asked him, is this going to affect home prices? I thought he had a really great kind of point. First was, for them, they consider themselves a discount broker anyways, meaning they've always offered lower than typical commissions. And again, I think people can argue one way or the other, whether you get that fair level of service or whether you get what you pay for. That I'm not really here to debate, but it's always been their focus. So they think they're going to come out of this kind of one of the winners. The other thing is, he really did not think that it's going to affect home prices because, and I kind of agree with him in that, it's going to put more money back in the seller's pocket. And a seller's goal is always to sell their house for the maximum amount of money possible. And a good buyer's agent is going to try to get their client that property for the best price possible. So again, to me, it's also that just that free market economy philosophy and theory that I think will 100% shine through. To put a bookend on it, Compass is trading at $3 a share and Real Estate is trading at $2.75 a share. I do think that's interesting of what does Wall Street value these companies at, kind of in a general hierarchy. But again, those stocks have taken a big hit, 15 to 25%. So as an aside, that's something that I'm looking at. The thing that I always do have a hard time with these things is it seems like the lawyers are always the ones that win. Don't get me wrong. I've got attorneys in my family. I think there's some phenomenal attorneys out there. But the thing that I think personally sucks is lawyers get paid first And then class action settlement recipients get paid second. And then we've got to figure this out with what's our ripple effect for the whole industry. So we're going to take a quick break and tell you about the next Elevation Academy. If you're looking to dive deep into real estate investing, this is definitely the event for you. Our academy features over 100-step process to help you navigate every single thing from market analysis all the way down to every aspect of project management. So this is tailored for both beginners and seasoned investors. And our one-day intensive training will equip you with the strategies and insights needed to elevate your real estate investing game. Spots are definitely limited, so click on the link below in the show notes to sign up and transform your approach to real estate investing. Okay, let's get back to the episode. Just some food for thought of things that we're trying to focus on. Let's get to where do we see this as a future opportunity and the way that our industry changes. We're going to bookend this with another episode that we actually just recorded with the CPA coach, Doug Slaybaugh. He's my business coach and executive trainer. And the title of that episode was actually Turning Obstacles into Opportunities. How are we going to evolve? I want to lead with my investor hat, but we have a team of 10 highly successful real estate agents that primarily do focus on investment real estate, but they still have some traditional ways that they're doing their buy and sell business. So I really want to put both hats on. We've always been really proud to provide higher value expert guidance at a lower price point or compensation price point anyways from day one. So to me, that's 100%. I didn't really know this yet, but when we started in 2005, that was our mantra all along. The other great thing is that by being an investor, and us offering three choices for all of our sellers, they can do a cash offer and they don't have to pay anybody any commissions at all. I compensate my folks independently. If they're finding us deals, they get to list those properties on the back end. So people are making money. Our sellers don't have to pay us any commissions. We also pay the closing costs. So again, that's a value proposition that we are 100% going to lean even greater into both on and off market. The other thing that we have is our institutional clients. Again, these are folks that are buying and selling properties primarily for rental purposes. They're owning rental properties, whether it's primarily single family homes. And the nice thing for us, and this is why we like working in this space, it's far less emotional. It's all about return on investment. They want to put a great product out there. They want to have a great rental property that rents well, is well maintained, and gives somebody a nice place to live, and gets them great ROI or return on their investment. So to me, it's all math. Whether we go in and offer a 0% commission on the buy side and our client compensates us independently, as long as that's stated, as long as we've got the proper documentation, we're good to go. So in the seller's eyes, yeah, maybe that is a better deal. But to me, it's all math, but doesn't really matter. And when we go to sell properties, we sell at volume anyways. On average, we make like 1.5% commission when we sell our institutional clients' properties because I'm selling 30 or 40 a month. Again, it's all about how do you structure your business and how do you provide value to your clientele. So those are two things we're going to really heavily lean into. Again, the other thing from a marketing standpoint is we are absolutely going to ramp up our off-market marketing, our acquisitions, our advertising, and all of our media. I think there's phenomenal opportunities there because people, again, as Warren Buffett said, you want to invest when there's blood in the streets, meaning when there's opportunities and people are running away, you need to be smart. You need to do risk mitigation and management, but we need to run towards the problem and we need to figure it out. So I'm super excited. We're actually going to be doing some hiring. We're going to be, again, since we work primarily in the investment space, bringing on other rockstar agents that maybe you're out there going, crap, my bread and butter was made and my living was made by running buyers around, showing them tons of properties. And there will be, again, we're recording this at mid-March and it really doesn't come into effect until July, but I'm dying to see how many people immediately as a seller offer lower commissions, offer zero commissions. We want to lean into that and we want to grow our team both in Metro Denver and also start to expand outside of Colorado. So reach out to us. The great news for Elevation as a team and as a company is we're leaning into this and we are staffing up for this. I didn't really realize it, but we were built for this moment. In 2015, when this company was founded, I just didn't know that yet. We thought we were doing investment real estate. We added on an agent component, but our model, Elevation, this is the future of real estate and it's here in 2024. So for me, it's all about also surrounding ourselves with other like-minded agents, with other like-minded investors, meaning we know this is going to be tough. but this 100% will create opportunity. So if you're out there, if you're listening, if you're watching, get in touch with us, come to our meetups, talk to our sales team about how can we all win together. If people are running from this, if it's a scarcity mindset, if you're thinking about getting out of the industry, that's okay. I totally understand that, but that's not who you need to be around. You need to surround yourself with creative, smart, hardworking people that are busting their ass and figuring out how do they create this as an opportunity. For me, again, we've always really done less buyer commission representation anyways and compensation anyways. So it's not that big of a deal for us. For us, it's all about how do we add full circle value to our clients, whether they're institutional clients, whether it's agents that want to work in the investor space, whether it's us putting out cash offers. The education piece is going to be huge. Again, we don't know every piece of the puzzle. We're going to try to crank out as much content as humanly possible. So I hope everybody gets value from this, but I really want to engage and I want to hear from people to see what you're doing, what you're hearing. Obviously, every state is different as well. So really take that into account. I think for me, it's all about who do you serve? So for us, it's how do we serve sellers properly? How do we also serve buyers and buyers agents and our institutional clients? And then how do we serve our investors? So we're going to do as much education as possible. Again, there's still a ton of uncertainty nowadays. There's going to be, again, lawyers, unfortunately, fighting back and forth over the next 4 or 5 months until we firm things up in July of 2024. But this is all about massive opportunity. We're weirdly excited about it. We are 100% leaning into it. We are completely seeing this as a sea change and a shift in our industry, whether it was the dot-com bust in the early 2000s, whether it was the housing crash of 2008, 9, and 10, whether it was COVID. This is another thing that somehow weirdly got compressed and doesn't happen for 20 or 30 years. It's happening now and you need to lean in. So if you want to be a part of it with us, whether it's formally or informally, please reach out. But definitely the obstacle is the way and this will be an opportunity. So thanks you guys for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Raising the Flipping Bar. If you found value in our insights and stories, let's keep the conversation going. Connect with me on social media and be sure to share this episode with friends or colleagues who might benefit. Your feedback and reviews help us grow and reach more listeners like you. So please, if you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. Thanks again to the Elevation Academy for sponsoring today's show. If you're interested in learning more, click the link in the show notes below. And remember, every property tells a story, every deal brings a lesson. Keep reaching for those goals, and we'll catch you on the flip side. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for listening and watching Raising a Flipping Bar. Just a basic overall disclaimer is that A, this is not legal advice. B, this is not tax advice. C, this is not financial advice. I hope you get the gist, but I'm obviously not a lawyer, not a CPA. Hell, I'm not even a real estate agent, actually. But in general, we hope you get a ton of value out of this, but there is a bit of a disclaimer. Please consult a professional if you have any questions whatsoever, and thanks for tuning in.